please help me welcome our speaker tonight, Tony from Pottstown.
All right, what's going on? I'm Tony. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Tony.
This is pretty interesting. Yeah, I was asked to speak by a friend, and you know, the saying goes, you never say no, and I'm just like, you know what? Like, yeah, and it's not just because of like we don't say no, but just the idea. I was listening to a speaker on my way up here. Someone had told me about him, and Father Richard Rohr, and he had written a book, a bunch of books actually. Never read them. Like I just heard about the guy, but it was called Falling Upward, and that's kind of like my mentality now. Is just like I'm gonna try it. She was like, you know, it's an hour long. I'm like, wow. You know, I mean, I can barely speak for 20 minutes, so I'm like, this is gonna be new. I'm ready to do this, and then I get here, and then I'm like, oh great, there's a podium and a microphone too. You know, so I'm like, we're really gonna do this falling upward thing, but I'm gonna, you know, just tell you what it was like, and really even before that, I'll just start with the good stuff. Yeah, just being a part of Alcoholics Anonymous, I mean, it's changed my life. Speak with Mike just before this, he was talking about how he was a speaker seeker, and sorry, I've never heard that, kind of funny, but he was a speaker seeker, and it's like very, a lot of pressure, could be a lot of anxiety, but it gets you out of, he was saying it gets you out of comfort zone and gets to mingle with people, and that's something that's so awesome. I'm actually part of the Montgomery County bid committee, so we bid for PennCPAL, which is Pennsylvania's conference thing, Young People's Alcoholics Anonymous. Could have butchered that. I'm so sorry if someone's in there, and I did. But they're doing a Tacos and Talents event in Springhouse, PA, and that's January 7th. And if anyone wants to know more about that, definitely let me know. I also have flyers on my car I can pass out. But I'm a part of this committee, and I'm a secretary for it, so I really just take notes. I'm a glorified note taker, which is cool though, because it gets me out of myself. You know, it puts me in a position where, you know, I go to a bunch of different meetings, meet different people, and so I'm just excited to be here. And you know, one concept that I was thinking about lately, you know, there's basically like throughout the year, I think of, there's just different things that come to my mind, and I really like think about it. And kind of like, you know, just yeah, I guess you want to say, if you want to say meditate on it, or just really contemplate it. And it was just the idea of like new, and of how in the big book, when it talks about working with others, it says that our life will have like new meaning. And you know, also then we're familiar with the ninth step promises, talks about like we're gonna know a new freedom and a new happiness. And I just think that's so cool, because like it's new, like it's simple, you know what I mean? It's new, it's something that I've not experienced before. And that's what I didn't understand. I am a repeat offender, you know, kind of alcoholic would I be if I wasn't. You know, relapse is a part of my story. It doesn't have to be part of yours, but it definitely is a part of mine. And the first time around, I was just trying to get like all the things that I used to have back, you know, my relationships and all the things. Some of them I did get back, but like I wasn't happy. You know, and now when I think about it, I'm just like, the life that I live now is just so, it's not like anything I've lived before. You know, like what the program has given me is something, or many things, beyond my wildest dreams. Things that I've always wanted, and I didn't even know were available to me. You know, what brought me into these rooms, I had a probation officer, the judge said I had to get a paper signed. You know what I mean? I'm trying to get these people off my back. That's originally why I came in here, you know, and surprisingly, I mean, I'm going to have 3 years tomorrow, but yeah, thank you. But I mean, like, I think the miracle is not just that, but like even before then, you know, a year into my sobriety, I felt this peace, you know, I felt okay. And that's something that I didn't even think I could get ever, let alone from Alcoholics Anonymous, from a bunch of drunks. You know, telling me about their stuff. And, literally, God did for me what I couldn't do for myself. I have an awesome life today. I have a career that I never thought I would ever have. I'm working, I'm like, actually getting out of myself. I go with different meetings, like I was saying, different meetings, different places, different people, and I'm okay with it. You know, I would go to the bars and I would try to introduce myself, but first I had to have like 6 shots and 7 beers before I'm ready to actually open up about myself, you know, and then I'm opening up, but over a toilet, you know what I mean? So like, it was weird. And that was one of those things, again, those promises where it talks about we intuitively know how to handle situations used to baffle us, introducing myself, you know, talking to someone who I've never met before, and then, you know, talking to them again, that's something that I just was not familiar with. You know, I would feel like, all right, cool, we had a cool night at the bar, like we're best friends, da da da. And then like I'm reintroducing myself to the same person like 3 times over the next day because I just don't remember. Now I'm able to again retain information and it's awesome. I'm going places where I never thought I would be able to go. Went to an Eagles game. Eagles and Packers a couple weeks ago. And I like football. Like Eagles isn't really my team. You know, I don't really have a team, but it was just for the experience. You know, I was like, all right, I want to see what it's like. And it's one of those things where I thank God, like I wasn't on any kind of substance because, you know, we were sitting so high, you know, your nose starts running a little blood, you know, got the nosebleeds up there. And it was cool. I enjoyed the experience, but like, I've never been to a football game ever. You know, and so like, I'm holding on to this chair next to me, you know, thanking God that I am not drunk or anything because I would be rolling down them stairs. So, it was definitely an experience. I definitely want to check it out again. But, you know, another thing that me and my friends are doing, like we went to the beach. Can't even remember the last time I went to the beach. I don't think I ever really went to the beach before. So like that was awesome. It was like this program, you know, this life. It's just given me so many opportunities that I'm able to enjoy with people who actually care about me. You know, it's something that I haven't been used to. You know, I've always wanted to travel, but like, you know, I've been to jail. If you want to talk about that, I've been to rehab, mental institutions, all those places where you really don't want to be. But, you know, those other places that people are enjoying their lives, going there with family, you know, that wasn't... Before that wasn't it, you know, I wanted to do those things, but it was all talk, you know, and so now I can do that. It's funny about, I was just thinking, it's nice to go to a place without drinking and not want to drink because I know what it's going to do to me than it was before when I would go to the places and like they weren't drinking, but I wanted to drink so bad. Or maybe they were, and I knew that I could only have a certain limit. So then I'm angry, even though I'm drinking, I'm angry, and I still can't even be happy because I know I should have to stop because I'm going to embarrass my wife or whatever the case is. But you know, now I'm just like, I know exactly what would happen if I pick up, so I don't even have to worry about that. but you know, I'll give you the rundown. I think my first memories when I was younger. I grew up in a pretty decent home. My first memories, I was 6 years old and I used to be a goofball. I was like a class clown. You know, I would have everybody laughing. But I don't know what it was. I guess maybe I just saw that, like, I was a funny guy. I saw that I was a funny guy, but I wanted to be the cute one. I wanted to be the smart one. I wanted to be the strong one. But no, they just go to Tony for a laugh and that's it. And it was like that point on, I wanted to be somebody different. I didn't like who I was. And, you know, it wasn't until my teens, you know, then I realized that, I'm not like everybody else. You know, I came from an adopted family. So, my friends, you know, would talk about, you know, all the time that they would spend with their family and, you know, doing stuff with their dad and mom, whatever. And I didn't really understand that because I was adopted by my grandparents. So it was just foreign to me. I remember my one friend, she was just like, oh, her and her mom like went to like a Linkin Park concert or something like that. And I grew up in a religious household, so my dad was a preacher, so I'm also a preacher's kid. And I was just shocked. I was like, whoa, like you and your parents listen to the same music? Like my parents got angry like if I watched like Simpsons or you know what I mean? So let alone them listening to something like that. I didn't have that relationship, that connection. It was weird. And so once again, you know, I don't want what I have. I want what you have. And, you know, then the, the substances came in, and I began to see that, okay, all right, it doesn't matter, you know, what color you are. It doesn't matter where you were born. If you have what people are looking for, they're going to come to you. So I was like, all right, bet. Like, that's what we're doing. And that's what I did. And I mean, like, oh, I was off to the races. Like, that's how I was, you know, in the morning, at school, at home. And that was just my life. And I was just like, if I could do this every day, I would. And I pretty much did. And this was like in high school. So basically what had happened was I had my first mental breakdown at when I was 17. And that was the first day at the mental hospital. And I kind of laughed because it's like I wanted to escape reality. I just wanted to be numb to everything. And I succeeded. I escaped reality. I escaped reality to the point where it freaked me out. And I had to go stay somewhere for a few days. And once I came to, I guess if you want to put it like that, I thought it was God. And that was because of, you know, my upbringing. I always had to go to church because I was a preacher's kid. Another thing that like a lot of people didn't do. That was like a thing. Like my friends, if they were to stay at my house, like they had to go to church with us on Sunday. And I was like, oh my God, it's so embarrassing. And I remember my mom would like read me the Bible too before bed, and my friends were staring at me like, dude, what's going on? I just want to play Halo. And I'm like, I know, man, it's almost over. But so being a part of religion was always a thing. And I remember like praying, like, God, if you're real, you know, show me. And so I guess I thought that was it. So I am definitely an extremist, you know. So it went from, you know, getting high and drunk all the time to now I'm like deep in religion. And I did that for like 5 years. And then I actually met my ex now, but she was my wife. Met her, and then, you know, we had a kid. And it was funny because, you know, I always wanted a kid. I always wanted to have a kid. And I always wanted to have a kid. It was because that I wanted something that would love me, you know, because I can't love myself. And a lot of people see that with like relationships, but I just knew like those people can leave. You know what I mean? Kids can't. So I always wanted a kid. And I remember like when it happened, like I wasn't mad. And you know, I remember holding that baby. She was actually premature, so she was born at 28 weeks, and she was 3 pounds 3 ounces. And I remember holding that baby, and I was not happy. And it wasn't that she made me unhappy. It's just because I was like, wow. So now I gave birth to this little premature, and yo, she was the hairiest thing I've ever seen. It looked like a giant hairball in my hand. And I'm just like, I just ruined this kid's life, you know? And I was just miserable. So I thought that was going to change me, and it didn't. You know, I thought, you know, going to, being a part of a religion. And I mean, I would be a part of nursery. You know, they would have like PowerPoint presentations going on. So part of the PowerPoint team. I was playing the drums, you know, playing guitar for like the worship team. I was just doing so much, just getting so involved because I thought that's how you get closer to God. The more you get involved, the more work you do, the more you're going to be blessed. I used to fast, you know, like no food, no water, 1, 2, 3 days, you know what I mean? Because that's just what I thought needed to be done. The more I hurt myself or the more that I put out of me, the more that will get poured in. And, I mean, I really did try. I really did try, but it never felt like enough. It never felt like I was satisfied. It never felt like God was satisfied. You know, it would be like I would see people, you know, pray for things and they get their blessings. And I'm just like, all right, God, like, you know, what's good? You know, you taking a nap? You know, you just never answer my calls, but I see you answer his, you know what I mean? And I was like really spiteful at the same time too, but like I tried to have an open mind. And I tried to just be like, you know what, just in time. But I was just never happy. And so finally, I just got to a point where I didn't think the person like inside of that sanctuary, inside of those rooms would be happy or be better off than the person who was out there running the streets. So that's what I did. I tried again. I was like, you know, like maybe I didn't give it a real shot. You know, I got high one time and I freaked out and it got messy, but like maybe I didn't give it the good old college try. Let me go back out there and try more things and heavier things and see how that ends up. And it didn't last long. I think it was maybe like a month or two. And then I get my first DUI, and that was like my first time coming into the rooms. And I thought it was awesome because like I knew about God, right? So when I used to come in the rooms and being hearing people be like, oh, well, you know, my higher power, and it just has this like an ambiguous kind of like connotation behind it, like it's not named, you know what I mean? I'll be like, yo, I'm gonna tell you who it is, you know what I mean? Like I know the Bible verses, you know what I mean? Like my dad's a PK, like, yo, let's talk about it. And I realized like that's not how it goes. Learning phrases like DOD, like the group of drunks, good orderly direction, things like that. I thought that was so cool. And one reason I thought it was so cool is because I thought it was like illegal. Like I didn't know you could have your own definition of a higher power, right? Like when I, like I said, when I came in, I used to hear that. I would be like, yo, God, like, they're a group of drunks. Like, let them go. You know, they'll figure out your name in a little bit, but do not smite them. Please don't do that. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know you could do that. But, you know, when you talk about, you know, step three, you know, and then 11, you know, God, as we understand, like, that is awesome. And I would talk to my dad about it. Again, he was a preacher, and he thought that was so cool. And I think that's like when our relationship started getting a little better. Well, my dad, my grandfather, what I call him, my dad. But yeah, I still, like I was still trying to do those things I think that society says and other people say, like, okay, you need to say this or act this way or to be a good father, dude. I still wasn't being true to me. And honestly, I don't even blame myself for it anymore. It's so hard when I live my life trying to be someone else, right? I mean, I just didn't want to be me. You know, I would think about situations, you know, and I'd think about situations where they would happen where I'd be like, okay, like how would Mike respond, right? And then I would respond like Mike would respond, and people would be like, oh, well, why are you acting like Mike? And then I'd be like, well, how would Mike respond to that? You know, like I could not be me. I didn't want to be me. You know, I'd be like, if you knew who I really was, you wouldn't like me. You would think I'm boring, think I'm weird, think I'm stupid. I mean, whatever the case was, but like I struggled with identity for so long. And partly was because of just the outside things that were happening. You know, I just never thought I could fit in. I felt like I was always like a day late and a dollar short. But, so I was still kind of like, I didn't know how to be honest with who I was, like my real emotions. And eventually the same thing kind of happened where I was just like, dude, there's no way that this guy in here, in these rooms, is better off than that guy out there. Like I would come into these rooms and I would listen to everyone talk about how like grateful they are, you know, how happy they are that they're an alcoholic. And I'm like, dude, bullshit, dude. Like you are lying. Stop. Like if somebody had a drink right there, you would pick it up. You know, I didn't believe it. And that was because of what was going on in me, you know, and I think that's another reason too why I love this, like, why Paul, the Young People's Alcoholics Anonymous, is because I see a lot of people who are like me. And I mean, it's not to say that, like, I don't know, I just remember you hear people talk about, like, oh, is this Alcoholics Anonymous? Is this a bunch of old guys in basements? It's really not. There's females there too, and young people, there's a bunch. But I mean, that's what I saw, and I was just like, you know what, like, I'm not like those people, like, these people. They've got something else, you know. Like there's a story in the big book that talks about, you know, somebody who, one of the females, she knew that alcohol wasn't her problem, that it was like her emotions, but she didn't know how to handle it. And like that was me, and I knew alcohol wasn't my problem. I knew I was just using that as my solution, but I didn't know what else to do. So once again, I was just like, well, let me give it one last try. And I did. And you know, a couple wrecked cars and two DUIs later, so now I have three. You know, I'm walking back into these rooms, and it was funny because I was at, before I came back into the rooms, I decided that, like, I knew something had to change. I was just tired of being miserable. I remember I was waiting for this bus to pick me up, and I used to get like Lyft rides to work, and it was like $30 one way. Sometimes, some days it was 70 because I have to go to the courts, do urines, and it was a mess. And I was just having a miserable day, waiting for this bus to pick me up. It was like a weekend, and I knew that like all my friends were out about to get ready for their weekend. It's Friday, and I'm thinking about people like who weren't even there for me. You know, I'm thinking about people who like literally put me down. And like, I want to hang out with them, you know, again, cause it's like, what do you have? like so shallow and transactional relationships. Like that's what I was used to. And I'm just like, yo, I'm caring about these people who don't even care about me. You know, I hate who I am. Like, when is enough enough? When is it gonna stop? And I just decided to like Google a book about emotional intelligence. And the reason why like that was, I think that was a turning point in my life. That was what I would say was step one, powerless, because like I knew that I couldn't do it. I knew that like the drink, and not even just the drink, but my emotions, me, I knew that something needed to change and it wasn't going to come by my hand. And I had found this book and I started reading it. And basically, you know, it was in this context of like these people would talk to this therapist and they would help, the therapist would help them be able to understand the situation and that it's not the event, but it's the reaction to the events that happen, right? It's your reaction. So how can you change that? You know, and it basically goes through this thing about like a solution or the solutions that they came to. And when I got done reading it, I was like, yo, this is cool, because there's people who are being honest about who they are and how they feel, talking about a solution, you know, and then finding their answers through someone else's experiences. And I'm thinking like, yo, where do I find that? I'm like, where do I find people who are just as screwed up as I am talking about a solution? And, you know, as soon as I realized it was Alcoholics Anonymous, dude, my jaw hit the floor of the bus. You know, I was just like, whoa, no way I'm going out because of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I did. You know, I just think it's funny like that it was the DUIs that brought me here. But more importantly, I like to think it was this book about emotional like recovery. That's what I got from it. And so now I'm just coming into Alcoholics Anonymous, right? And I still don't say I'm an alcoholic yet, right? Because that thing didn't really stick. And again, people gave me labels my whole life. You know what I mean? You know, they're like, oh, you're funny. Well, I don't really feel like I'm funny. You know what I mean? You're black, you're Mexican, you're white. I didn't think I was any of those things. So like, I hate labels. I still hate labels. I don't really understand them. Cause it's like, I have to understand it for it to apply, you know, of course. And, so they're telling me, you know, that like, oh, you don't think you're an alcoholic? Well, I'm like, no. I mean, technically drugs are a part of my story. So like, what about that? I'm like, dude, if you hand me one Starburst, you know, I'm gonna go after the whole bag. You know, one Skittle, like, I don't stop for anything. Like, what are you talking about, alcohol? Like, if you give me keys to a car, you know what I mean? I'm gonna bury the needle and see how fast it can go. So, like, what am I, Speedaholic? You have Speedaholic Anonymous? Like, what's good? You know, if you wanna put labels, let's label it. And so, and it's not even me trying to be, like, angry about it, but, like, I just don't understand. You know, I'm, like, a very complex individual, I guess. but I was listening to this speaker, and his name, I think it's Charlie C. It's one of the YouTube speaker, but he was like, sobriety's not about being physically sober, not picking up a drink. It's about being comfortable in your own skin. And, you know, when I heard that, dude, it just gave me goosebumps. And I was like, wow, you know, like, I'm an alcoholic. You know, when I first said those words, I was so excited to say I was an alcoholic, because now I have an identity. Now I know who I am. You know, I would drink to be somebody else. You know, there was a point when I was working at a pretty good job. You know, usually I would stop drinking because, you know, you run out of money, but I would drink, you know, like all night and then be like, oh my God, like I'm still me. You know, I guess I thought I was going to be like Cinderella or something and have that like shot of Henny and everyone's going to love me and stuff. And I guess it worked in the beginning, but like it never stuck. You know, and then it stopped working and people started hating me. But I realized that there is no amount of money, no amount of alcohol, no amount of substances that was actually going to make this lasting effect of changing who I am. And, you know, when I realized that, like, dude, you're an alcoholic, it was like, bet. Like, it's almost like going to the doctor and, you know something's wrong, but they don't know what it is. So they don't know what it is. They can't treat you. And it's just like, you don't feel like you don't have any hope. But now that I knew what my problem is, now I could start applying a solution. And like, I was just so happy to be like, I'm like walking down the street going to take my urine test. Like, I'm an alcoholic. This is great. You know, but to have a name, you know, for myself that I truly understand, I think that's what's important. I definitely recommend that, for anybody, you know, I mean, if you struggle with something, like, what does it mean to you? Again, that's why I like the God thing too. It's just like such a pinnacle of our recovery is built upon our higher power, but you get to define them. You know, it's like, what does it mean to you? Like when I realized that like the higher power from before, you know, the God who I thought was like a tyrant, you know what I mean? The God who I thought heard everyone else's prayers, but, left me to the wayside. I was like, screw that guy. You know, I'm like, I like these group of drunks. You know, that guy's out. These guys, you know, the good old direction, that's in. And that's when I started like building a relationship. You know, I started having my own relationship, you know, with my higher power, and it was became less. So like I used to be those people, you know, out in the streets with like tracks, you know, telling people like, oh, you know, you're gonna go to hell or whatever, and like knocking on doors and stuff. Yeah, I was definitely obnoxious. I guess I still am, but at least it's not in religion. So I would do that, and I guess you could say I was practicing a program of promotion, right? But now, like, I'm not worried about that. I don't have to try and explain to people, you know, why bad things happen to good people. Like, that's not what my higher power, you know, is worried about. Like, that's not even what I'm worried about, you know, really. It's just that, like, I know for me, you know, these God moments, these things that have happened in my life, you know, where that God has proved to me that he's real, and that the higher power, that is real. I like to think of it more of a concept. I don't put a name behind it. I guess the only name is not me. You can call my higher power not me. That works. But, you know, when I came to that realization, it was cool because now it's just like, this program of recovery was more like personalized. You know, it started to feel like, oh, I do matter. You know, I think that we all have our own message. And, you know, the overall message, you know, is like, you know, we can recover. I would say I recovered from a state of hopeless mind and body, you know, but I think we also have like our own little, like, unique messages within them. And, you know, for me, mine is about, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, you know, you too deserve happiness. You know, you can be free too. And, you know, I lived under the weight, you know, of my own hate, self-hatred, my own pain for so long, you know, and it's not like that today, you know. And it's awesome because now it's like, I don't even care about the afterlife, you know, like if the afterlife really, really exists, really matters. I mean, the way we have the Lord's Prayer, right? And I'm not even going to like talk about biblical stuff, but we have the Lord's Prayer, right? And it's like, our Father, you know, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, you know, let thy kingdom come. Right there. Let thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done. Like, if that is in the Lord's Prayer and that's what can happen, then like, well, what's this kingdom? Like, what's heaven like, I guess? And peaceful? Serene? You know? And if it's to be done on earth as it is in heaven, well, then that means it's available to us, to me, to you. And I feel like I've gotten that. I feel like I've tasted just a little bit. Just a little bit of freedom. Like I was talking about in the beginning, like this new life, this new freedom, this new happiness. Dude, it's like I've never had before. And I just gotta taste a little of it. And I'm cool. That's amazing. That's great. It's so good. But I could die tomorrow. And I've literally lived my best life in these past 3 years than I've ever had. And that's fine by me. And I think that's just an awesome feeling. Cause I used to fear that, what would happen, you know, where am I going to go, you know, when this is all over? And, you know, I'm not even worried about that anymore. I like step four, you know, moving on to step four. I like step four because it helped me to identify, again, you know, I guess I'm just feeling weird, but probably one of my favorite steps, but help me identify who I was. Let me figure out, you know, okay, so now we know where I'm an alcoholic. These are our defects. This is where we start. You know, what's going on? How are we going to work through that? Or like taking that inventory, right? And it's the inventory. So, I mean, it's not just the bad things. It's all who you are. right there. You know, right in that page. So I just thought that was so cool, and I still enjoy doing it. I still like to learn about the things that I like doing, things that I don't like doing. You know, I learned a lot growing up. I learned about cars, you know, I learned about, you know, math, science, history growing up, but like the thing I just never cared to learn about was me. The thing I never cared to look into was the person that I was. You know, people would be like, "What do you like to do?" And I would answer that by saying, "Well, what do you like to do?" Because I can like whatever you like, you know? So again, just the whole struggle with identity, with who I am. You know, those things started coming around, you know, when I was able to start working with people and being able to see, you know, my life, you know, in theirs, you know, listening to other speakers or working with my sponsor. And, it's an awesome thing. And I remember I once heard somebody say, like, they were working with their sponsee. I don't know if it was in the rooms or like maybe a YouTube speaker, but anyway, they said they were working with their sponsee or their sponsor or somebody. Anyway, that like the whole car ride home, they didn't turn on the radio. And I was just like, cool, I guess. Like, I don't know the significance of that. But now I understand, like, every time I go to like an outside or anytime I'm hanging out with my friend, you know, in the program, like, we're always talking so much that I never turn on the radio, and I'm like, that's crazy. You know, I would always want to try and find, and it wasn't even just substances, man, even music. Like, I'm just trying to find something to escape, trying to get outside of the moment somehow, some way. And now it's just like, I'm in it. I'm in the moment. And it's an awesome thing. I mean, me and my friends, we drive. The one place we went to, it was like a 2-hour drive, and we're talking. No radio. 2 hours. Like, my mouth is getting dry, and I'm like, yo, what is going on? Like, just because, you know, eventually you think they'd just run out of things to say, or just be like, all right, hey, nah, like, we're just gonna listen to the radio, like, it's cool. But no, we're learning about, you know, each other and where we came from, and just working with another alcoholic really is mind blowing. Really is, because, you know, talks about us being a bunch of, like, a group of people that normally wouldn't mix. And that's true. Maybe not at one point, but like we all have something that we can relate to. You know, it's an incredible thing, you know, and I love like meeting somebody new, because it's almost like, damn, I wonder what we have in common there, you know, and once you find out, it's awesome. No, it's really awesome. It's really hard to explain. I mean, the best way I could say it is like, that's music in itself. You know, when the conversations that you have, and they turn into other conversations, they turn into friendship, you know, and I have so many more friends that I ever had, that I ever thought I had, and so many more people that care about me. It was cool that, like, even on Christmas, I didn't spend it with anybody, but it was a beautiful thing. Like, I wanted it that way. You know, before, I'm always trying to find somewhere to be where everyone else is at. And the thing that kills me is, like, I would go to a bar and be like, okay, you know, it's like 11 o'clock on a Friday, you know, everybody's at this bar. So I would go there, and then nobody would be there. And it's like, oh, wait, that's because everybody else is over at its other spot. And I'd go to the other spot, and no one would be there. And it's like, man, don't you think that, like, everyone's really not at those places? But it never clicked. It never really clicked. And I remember when I got my DUI, my last DUI. Oh, I can remember sitting at home. It was Saturday. It was like 9 o'clock, and I'm sitting at home, and I'm like, all right, Saturday night, 9 o'clock. I'm actually sober. Been sober for the day. I think I drank the night before. I had a second DUI like a month prior. So I'm like, meh, probably shouldn't go out. And it's pretty cool that I'm sitting here on a Saturday night and it's 9 o'clock. Like, I was thinking that, and then it's like, as soon as I had that thought, another one came, and it was just like, you know, your girl could be out there, you know? If you don't go out there tonight, no one's gonna remember you. Who stays at home on a Saturday night at 9 o'clock? And I'm like, you know what? You're right. I'm out. So I went out, and the night ended with me not even leaving the parking lot of the bar and getting pulled out of my car, because I was obnoxiously loud in my car. Just have a loud car at the time, and I was getting pulled out of it because I had the key, it was running, and I was trying to leave. And I got a DUI in a parking spot. You know, like, and I have crazy other stories like that where it's just like, what are you doing? You know, I just think about how we're so uncomfortable at home. I was so uncomfortable being alone, being by myself. And I made it that way. I was like, you know, I lived this fast life, I call it a portable life. I lived this in efficiency. So, I didn't have anything there. I just had this TV. And I remember I was like, okay, I'm not even going to go out. I'm going to try that. So this is before the DUIs. I'm like, we're going to try not even going out at all. And, I grabbed like a six pack or something. I'm sitting there and like before my coat hit the ground, you know, like I finished like three beers and I'm just like watching this TV and it's been like, I don't know, 15 minutes. And I'm like, I'm going out. This is lame. So I literally set my life up, you know, to be like that. And so of course, that's why I felt like I was in a black hole, that nothing was changing. And, you know that saying, like, if nothing changes, well, nothing changes. And what was, you know, again, I talked about my turning point, but the thing I wanted to, like, also point out was, like, being powerless over something, you know, I want to remind myself or whoever that, like, people are strong. In general, right? Like it wasn't even that that I was like weak, but like my way wasn't working. I mean, I guess I'm an egomaniac, so that's what I had to tell myself. But it was just so much more endearing, you know. It was when I was standing at that bus stop, at that Walmart, you know, and I decided that like, dude, something's got to change. It was almost like a soft hand was on my shoulder. I was like, Tony, like you're strong. You've been strong for a really long time, but why don't you just try something else? And I was like, wow, yeah, no, you're right, yeah. And so, you know, I'm willing now to say that I'm powerless over a lot of things, but, you know, I had to get broken down. You know, I had to chip away at that ego. But, you know, moving on to, you know, getting rid of the character defects, it's definitely hard. Still working on that, a lot of things going on, but, or I should say a lot of things that I need to work on, but it's nice. It's nice to know that, like, dude, this is not a race. You know, it's all about progress, not perfection. And the way I see it, you know, I think it's great that, that I have, like, I'm about to have 3 years, cause that's awesome. It's more of like what I'm doing, you know, in that time. So one example is just like, you know, if I can learn, you know, again, going back to like step 4 or 10, however you want to say it, but if I can learn one new thing about myself, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whatever, one new thing a month, you know, that's 12 new things a year. That's 12 new things that I've never acknowledged before. You know, 12 things that could have hindered me, you know, from getting a job or meeting somebody new. You know, so I really think like that's awesome. And so then, you know, 12 times 3, if I can do that once a month, that's 36 things. Like that's recovery, you know, to me. That's me turning away, not even just turning away, but just me, you know, my disease of thinking, you know, kind of being renewed, you know, me going through this like brainwashing phase, I guess if you want to call it that, because, you know, my brain dirty as hell, needs to get clean. So, you know, just being able to, you know, be at the position or be able to do that, it's awesome. And it's humbling. You know, I'm not going to say that my life is, peaches and cream. You know what I mean? Like, I have bad moments, but like, I don't really say I have bad days anymore. You know, I don't really wake up wishing I was dead, wishing I was somebody else, you know, just wishing I was anything or anywhere but me here. I wake up, you know, enjoying like who I am. And, you know, it's funny that it, says that we thought we could find an easier, softer way and we could not. And I guess, you know, for my ego, admitting I was an alcoholic or admitting that I was not okay, admitting that my life was unmanageable, that was hard at the time. And it was. But now I look back and I'm like, you know what was hard? Was waking up and just wanting to end it all and not being able to, day after day after day, looking for a substance that to fix it, and that doesn't work, so finding another substance, and that doesn't work, so finding another person, and they don't work, That's tough. I think that is incredibly difficult. And I'm just, sometimes I'm baffled that I even made it this far. And that's why it's just like, you know, the fact that like I have an identity now and I'm okay with who I am, is even more just astonishing. Yeah, it's, I think like, you know, that's crazy. And so I enjoy, you know, that's the other aspect about like meeting new people, talking to different people, is because they keep it green for me. You know, they let me know what's going on out there. And I mean, it's pretty crazy, you know, pretty wild. I'm just like, oh my God. But, you know, it reminds me of who I am, like where I came from. You know, it reminds me of, you know, the rehabs and the institutions and, you know, just the times that I didn't even think I could be happy. Like, I just didn't think it was for me. It's definitely, a relief, you know, and, I never thought I would say it, but like, I really enjoy working with people and, you know, getting out of myself. And I always say that A is the best, worst thing that I've ever done. And I think it's gonna probably remain that way. You know, I don't know whatever bad idea could help, you know, give me such freedom and refreshing experience today. But, I'm glad to be here again. I tried to talk for an hour. Hopefully that got close to it. But no, I really, one thing I heard in the rooms, and it's 100% true, but like, you guys can be sober without me, but man, I cannot stay sober without you. So I thank you all for being here, and thanks for letting me share.